So we're in John chapter 15 here. Let's read, we'll read the first 8 verses like we did this morning and consider some of the points we made. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So that's one of the things we were talking about this morning, is the pruning of God. And we'll come back to that point. But abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will be my disciples. There, he says in the last verse, hey, Charity, good to see you. Charity Graves in the house. It's exciting. He says that my Father is glorified. When we bear much fruit, God is glorified. And we spoke this morning about not so much producing the fruit by ourselves. Like you go into an apple orchard and you don't see many trees that are trying hard to produce fruit. Like there's no groaning from the orchard like, I got to produce fruit or else they're going to cut me down this year. But the work of fruit, the production of fruit in our lives is something that happens as we abide in Christ. And really, we could think that the responsibility of the fruit in my life is not my own. I mean, it is in the sense that I put myself in the place, I abide in Christ, and I listen to his word, I allow it to take root in my life, and I obey the things that he says. But then the responsibility is his, and he's the one that is producing fruit. And then if we think of that, then that means that he's the one that is giving me the ability to glorify God. And then he's the one that is bringing more fruit into my life. And then also, he's the one that is leading me and teaching me what it means to be a disciple. So the work of grace is so evident in the fruit of the believer's life. So I want to speak a little bit more about the pruning tonight, and then also a little bit about the fruit of the Christian life. I actually remember Pastor Morrison preaching about the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Baltimore one year at convention. And he was funny. He was on fire. He was preaching. And then he said, I want to be a fruit. And then he caught himself and realized what he said. And then he just started laughing. He's like, I can't believe I just said I want to be a fruit. And then he was playing around with that idea. But we do want to be fruitful as believers. We do want to be glorifying God. I mean, really, what do I want in life? I don't know. I want God to be glorified. I want him to be recognized in my life. And I want people to know that everything that I have has come to me because of God. That I don't have anything in myself. Like I don't want to stake a claim and say that I have done this. I have made myself this. I have, and I turn to God and say, you're welcome, God. You're welcome. You know, you can use me now. But instead, I want to be like C.T. Studd, who was, like a premier athlete in his time in England. Premier athlete. I mean, it was cricket, but still a premier athlete. Anytime you're the best at something, it means a lot, even if it's cricket, which I actually have never played. And if I did play, I would probably look foolish, but I would be embarrassed by the guy with the, what's he called? The bowler, the pitcher there. But anyway, CT Studd, he was like the best, one of the best, and he was on a team, Cambridge Seven, I believe was their name, and they were this unbelievable team, and they had things to look forward to. But also he had wealth, and his father had left him a pretty large inheritance. And at that time, I think maybe, let's just say it was $500,000 or it was $1 million or something. But at that time, it was, it's a lot more in the 1800s than it is now. But he had had a great conversion, and he, in his heart, he had missions, and he didn't want the money, actually. It's amazing. So he took a bunch of different missions and he divided the money up among them. Guys like in the contemporaries of C.T. Studd, the guys like George Mueller, Hudson Taylor, who else? Oh man, I can't remember his contemporaries. And he gave away money to all of these missions organizations and the orphanages and the China Inland Missions and all these different places that were on the forefront of missions, really cutting the path. And then what he did is that he kept $10,000 for himself. And it's totally reasonable, isn't it? That he had $1 million and he gave $990,000 away and kept $10,000 for himself. But his wife looked at him and she's like, what, you can't trust God? You're going to hang on to that $10,000? And he actually ended up giving that away too. The rest of his life, he lived on the mission field and he was always taken care of. But just the testimony is beautiful that he didn't have anything in himself where he said, well, I did this, therefore I can glorify God. But it was like, you know what, God, I don't have anything. I give you everything. And his mission was that way. Also, Hudson Taylor was similar in his approach, where he didn't have much. And he decided, he knew he was going to go to China. But even as he was practicing medicine in England, he decided early on that he would not ask anybody for money, but that he would depend on God to provide. Because he said, if I'm going to be living in China away from means and without access to things, I'm going to need God, and I want to be very familiar with depending on God to supply everything. So he lived that way, and God always provided. God always provided. But the glory always went to God. There was no explanation in himself. Abraham said this in Genesis chapter 14 when he came back from fighting and rescuing Lot. And the king of Sodom came to him and said, give me the people, you take the stuff. And he said, I don't want anything from you because I don't want you to be able to say that you have made me anything. But he said, instead, I have lifted my hand to the Most High God, the creator of heaven and earth, and he is the one that will supply all my needs. So the fruit in my life is not something that I want to try to produce, that I want to manipulate into productivity, but I want the fruit in my life to be a result of my abiding in Christ and my resting in him. But as I abide, have you noticed, if you're a disciple, if you've been following Christ for some time, you have noticed this and you have experienced this, that there is difficulty and there is painful experiences, and there are things that we could say to God, you could have allowed that not to happen. Like, imagine we could say that to God, like, you know, God, you could have, you know, avoided that whole thing. But that's not the point. The point is not for God to conduct our lives in the way that we think best, but it's for us to abide in him. And he has wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we don't know of, and we don't understand. Back in John 14:28, he said, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. There's a mystery there. There's something unknown, and that unknown is that I don't actually know what you're talking about, Christ. Jesus, the disciples could say, Jesus, I really don't know what you're saying, that you're going to leave and you're going to come back, and I don't get it. But I will still rejoice because I know who you are. I know what you have done in my life. I know how you have changed me. The disciples could say this, but we also could say this, that as he is pruning us and as he is challenging us in our spiritual life, we could say to him, Lord, I don't like this, but I know who you are, and I will rejoice in what you are doing. I will rejoice in how you are leading me. I will rejoice in the activity of God in my life. And we will see fruit produced from that. So here in John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He cuts out the dead wood, that there is this, the branch, there's two options, that I can either choose life or I could choose death. But here is a warning, a great warning for us to choose life. But then look at this, in every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So you see there in verse 2, you have more fruit. Then in verse 5, you have much fruit. And then also in verse 8, you have much fruit. So more, there is fruit in my life. And then God comes in and he prunes. He cuts things away. And then there is much fruit. And then he comes and he prunes and he cuts things away. And then there is much more fruit. And I am growing in my relationship with God, but also in my ability to glorify God and to represent him here on earth. But what can we say about pruning? All right, pruning is, it can be painful. That when something is cut out of my life that I love, it hurts. But the way that God does it, and that he does it so gently, so lovingly, so effectively, that it is correct. And I say, yes, Lord, that is, I receive that from you. I trust you. I know who you are. I don't understand it. Just like I don't understand you coming and going, I don't understand it. But I know you. I trust you. I will abide in you. And what you are asking to, what you are taking out of my life, I trust that it is needed to, and it needs to be removed. So we have that rest in him. And the result of cutting off the, pruning is that there is more fruit. Right? So the first point is that the pruning will be painful. It can be painful, but we welcome it because it is his work and we know he loves us. The second point is that it will be fruitful. That if God is the vine dresser, if God is the one who is cutting the things out of my life, I can trust that it is done in true wisdom and true knowledge. And it will be fruitful. Right? There is no experiment in God. He's not saying, huh. Like if you see in people's landscapings and like a little bonsai tree, people spend a lot of time pruning them, and there's a formula to it. They don't just snip here or whatever, but they know what they're doing. Some people know what they're doing. Some people have no idea. But at some point, somebody had to experiment with the tree, experiment with what it is to see how the tree would respond to pruning, and then how would it take shape after that. But with God, there's no experimenting. Like you and I are not guinea pigs in the hands of God, where he is like, all right, let's see if it happens if I cut this. Oh, oops, shouldn't have done that. No. What he does perfectly, and there will be fruit. I will be taught by the Holy Spirit, and I will have a different view of things because of his work in my life. But then the other thing, the third point that we could say about this pruning, first, it can be painful. Second, it will be fruitful. And third, that it breaks the outer man. That I, as a believer, I have two natures. I have the spiritual man inside of me that is submitted to God. And then I have the outer man that is relating to the world around it. And what is it that can break the outer man so that I don't look at the world based on me? But so I am free now. When the outer man is broken, I am free to look at the world through God, with his eyes and with his wisdom. This is what pruning does. Pruning is breaking the outer man so that the spiritual man could have more life and more expression in my life. And when the spiritual man is more active, then there will be more fruit. But again, it's not by my work, it's not by my effort, but it's by God's work. And his call to me, my responsibility in the whole thing is simply to abide in Christ. Abide. Lean on, trust in, depend on, find my home in him. Like this is in that he alone is the source of life in me. So this is what we're talking about when we are producing fruit. But something else we wanted to say about fruit this morning is this, that the fruit is actually not for the tree, for the branch, that the branch produces fruit, but it's not for me. That my life, as I abide in Christ, I receive from him and he fills me. He does give me everything I need. And that is the life that is coursing through me. But the life of God is so much that it is more than I can handle. And that it's designed that way. It's perfect that way, that he says, I know I'm going to fill you. I'm going to give you everything you need. But what I can give you is so much more. So what's going to happen is that there's going to be fruit in your life and it will be evident to people. That other people will see God in your life. Other people will be blessed by you. And this is what we mean when we say someone has a ministry. That we all have a ministry. That we have the ability to express God to people. And that gives them life. That's fruit. That is fruit. We think so much about fruit in the context of my prayer life, my evangelism, my Bible study, you know, me leading a Bible study, me teaching something, you know, this kind of stuff. That is all very good, and that is the goal of the ministry. But the fruit of the believer is not his own activity. That when you look at your life and you say, man, where is the fruit in my life? Don't think of it in the context of your activity, but think of it in the context of God's working in your life. There's sometimes it can get put upside down with this prosperity message, where it is that based on what you have, what you have is the fruit in your life. But I don't think so. I don't think that's biblical. I don't think that's what the disciples experienced, where they had nothing, but they were the ones who carried this gospel message into the whole world, and there was great fruit in it. So, the fruit is the work that is like beyond my surviving, right? Like I have survived, I abide in Christ, I survive. But then beyond that, I have the ability to bless other people and to speak to them by faith, to encourage and to lead people to the understanding of God. The life of the vine is coursing through the branch and it has life. But also there is enough to produce something. My faith is not only to consume, but as I receive, there is more than enough for me. There is an outward expression that can give life to someone else, a necessary part of my faith. There is a need for the believer to express his faith and to be outward with it. That's the design of it. That our faith is not designed for us to hold on to it, right? Remember Jesus said in the parable, he said, who lights a candle and puts a bushel over it? No, we light the candle and we put it up to light up the whole room. And then we are lights on a hill. And we are like in Proverbs chapter 9, set up in the chief part of the city at the gate. And we are there looking to tell other people. Why? Because we make something from it, because we gain from it, because God will be, you know, give us a golden sticker if we do this? No. Because we have been so moved by God's work in our own life that his salvation and his ministry to us has blessed us so much that we now, it is flowing through us abundantly, right? Remember when David said in Psalm chapter 23, my cup runs over? My cup runs over because God's life in me, I can't contain it, but it will come out of me. And this is the fruit that we're speaking about. And it's not necessarily for me, right? It cannot be measured by what I have in my hand. It cannot be measured even by how I see things and how I understand things. But it will be seen in the kingdom. And that's where it counts. Yeah, and that's where we want to find ourselves. Not thinking about ourselves so much, but thinking about God and meditating on Him and allowing Him to teach me, allowing Him to remind me, allowing Him to produce fruit in my life. This is where it is. Oh, look, it is. I found what I wanted to say. He said this: what is the fruit of a Christian? As I abide in Him, what can I expect to come out of me? So I have a few questions here. Is the fruit mine? Is it something that I gather and then I bring it to the market and I sell it? No, it's God. It's other people's. It's where it goes where God wants it to go. Does the fruit glorify me? All right, that's a good question. Does the fruit glorify me? Am I finding myself telling other people all the things that I am doing? Oh, that's a good indicator that it is not spiritual fruit, but it is my own effort. If you read through the book of Acts, the times when they get together, it says that they spoke about how God had blessed and the works that God had done. And there was so much excitement and joy around the work that God had done. And then also, this is prosperity. Is that the fruit that he's talking about? No. Healing, is healing the fruit? No, it's not, actually. Of course, healing is always possible in God, and we pray for it often. We expect it. We anticipate it. But the lack of healing in my life does not mean that I don't have fruit. It doesn't. And the devil would love me to think that my physical health is the reflection of my spiritual life, but that's not the case. That's not the case. It could be that the sickness or the lack of health in my life is something that produces a lot of fruit through my life, and then I'm able to reach a lot of people through that, or I'm able to glorify God in it. So the beautiful thing about understanding God is working in my life is that we are able to get over ourselves, right? And we are able to get beyond ourselves and not think so much of how this affects me, but I am able to think about God, glorify Him, and think about other people. Happiness. This is the last one I wrote. Happiness. Like, is my happiness or lack thereof the measurement of my spiritual fruit? No, it's not. It's not. Happiness is, I love to be happy. I would rather be happy, but it could be that God leads me in a time of sorrow. It could be that God leads me in a serious time where I am, there's a heavy impression on my heart. If you read a lot of the prophets, that there was not much happiness in their message. You could find joy in their message because of who they were in God, but you don't always find happiness. Lamentations, the name alone, Lamentations, it means to lament or to be sorrowful. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations, and then he wrote Jeremiah. He is known as the weeping prophet. There's not much happiness in his message. Nathan, when he came to David, it was not always happy news. Samuel, when he prophesied to the nation of Israel, when he led Saul, it was not always happy, but there was joy and there was fruit. And we speak about these men of faith today because they glorified God. So I want to encourage all of us to be abiding in Christ this week, right? Let's abide in Christ. We say that's a strange idea. I don't understand what that means. Well, rest in God. Understand His work. Allow His work to challenge you, right? There are points you read through the epistles and that sin is labeled, right? Adultery, fornication, deceitfulness, the lewdness, like these sins are labeled there and they challenge us. And I could say, okay, God, challenge me this week, but be careful. If you ask God to challenge you in your prayers, He will. And it could be challenging, but trust me, it's worth it, because then He brings you into life. And then He brings fruit into you, and you're not concerned anymore about yourself, but you're concerned with glorifying Him. And He's given us the cross to do this. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the body of Christ. And all of these things challenge the natural man, break the outer man, and get to the spiritual man. So, amen. That's the message tonight here on Facebook. Thank you for joining in. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for this church and the many people around the country who've been able to join in. And bless us, Lord. Keep us safe. Deliver. Heal. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.